And we're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 35. If you have your Bible, please turn with me there. If you don't, it should come up on the screen. Isaiah 35. Start with the first verse. And it reads, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, a thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we come before you this morning and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for this word of encouragement, this word of salvation that you have for us. Lord, help us to hold on to it, to grab on to it. Reveal it to us here this morning. Lord, as I pray your Holy Spirit to be upon me. As I preach, I pray your Holy Spirit to be upon me. That what I say would be not through my wisdom or the wisdom of the world, or even through the wisdom of the church, but Lord, might it be the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, the wisdom of you, God. Might you speak through me. And might each person hear not my voice, but yours this morning. Might you take over all that happens here for the glory and honor of your name. And Lord, might each person come to know you a little more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Your God will come. Your God will come. Says he's going to come with vengeance, divine retribution, and to save you, to save us. Okay, vengeance. The last few chapters that we've been reading have been all about the vengeance, hasn't it? It's been talking about the retribution that's coming. All that's this rod of discipline that's coming against the people of Israel, but now against those who God used, against that instrument of discipline, now God is going to bring his vengeance. He's going to come and take care of them. He's going to have divine retribution. It's not our job to get back at those who did us wrong, who brought us harm, who God may have used to discipline us. That's all in God's hands. So his vengeance, his retribution, that's all his. But he's coming, and he's coming to save us. What does that look like? We now paint us this beautiful picture. and tells us what salvation looks like. Shows us what it is that he's going to do. We have the eyes of the blind. Anybody know anybody who's blind? Who, you know, my grandfather was blind, and he rarely opened his eyes. He normally kept his eyes shut because he could see a little bit, and I think he found it more distracting to try to see with it than that. But I remember him mostly as a little boy with his eyes closed. And the eyes of the blind, they're closed, they can't see. And salvation from God says that they'll be opened. Then they're going to see. Okay, here we got some really open eyes, huh? No. Wow. But they can see. So that those who are blind will now see. And then we see the ears of the deaf, or hear, that the ears of the deaf can't hear. Huh? What? Speak up! Sometimes you can speak up and shout, but they still can't hear. They're just deaf. A few of you have worked in nursing homes or been around people who can't hear. You're gone. And you're almost shouting in their ear, and they can't hear you. You can be saying the most beautiful thing to them, but they cannot hear. Donna loves music. Okay? When she's got her phone, she's got the music playing on the phone. Okay, don't tell her I told you this part. Last night, Donna went to take a bath after the whole day and everything before she went to bed, just because she wanted to relax. And she had her iPhone in there, and she's singing in the tub. Okay, we can't tell about this. This is our secret. I don't want to get in trouble. But, yeah, my mom's going, okay. But if she couldn't hear, I wouldn't be there. But the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Now they're going to hear. And when they hear, joy is on her face from hearing. Joy. Because they can hear. Someone who's never heard before now can hear. The joy on their face when they can hear is just amazing. And then we have the lame. God's salvation is like the lame. We see this woman here who is born with deformed legs and has lived all her life riding around in a little cart, getting around on her hands and doing this. However, the lame, instead, when God saves, they're going to leap like deer. Like, whoa! Such a difference between being stuck on a cart and not even being able to get up off the ground on their own, to be able to leap like a deer. There's no ground in the picture. That's God's salvation. That's what it's going to be like. The mute. In this picture, his lips are sewn shut. I don't know if you can see that detail. But the tongue of the mute wants to shout with joy. Instead of not being able to speak, now we're shouting with joy. Shouting with joy! Yes! A couple of you going, Pastor, you hurt my ear. Good, you got ears to hear. This is God's salvation. This is what's going to happen. Matthew 11, 4 and 5. It says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. This is a response to Jesus, John sending a messenger to Jesus saying, are you the one? This is what Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about Jesus. John is asking and Jesus is replying back and saying, that stuff that Isaiah was talking about, it's happening. When God is present, this is what happens. We have this change that occurs. Instead of being mute, instead of being deaf, instead of being blind, instead of being lame, we are healthy and whole. We're shouting for joy, leaping for joy, singing for joy, listening with joy. What? God. God has come and is present. Because God has saved us. Israel is not a garden place. Okay, when Don and I went there, I figured out what it is that they grow there. They grow rocks. On the hillsides everywhere, there's rocks everywhere. You know, they talk about stoning somebody. Oh, I know I stoned somebody. There's plenty of them there. You know. It's a wilderness. Next slide. The wilderness, I mean, this is the wilderness of Israel. This is what the wilderness of Israel looks like. It's rocks, a few brush, an occasional tree. There's nothing there. It's barren. It's dry. However, when God comes, there's going to be transformation in this land that is called for. It's referred to as land of milk and honey. You look at it now, you go, how can it be called milk and honey? No. This is what it's going to be. Water's going to gush forth from the ground. Boom! There's going to be streams in the desert. So instead of being dry and barren, we got water gushing forth and leaving streams in the desert. Burning sand becomes pools of refreshing. And thirsty ground, well, becomes bubbling springs. Water represents God and His Holy Spirit. When He saves us, this is there for us. And we have this word in Revelation 22:17. It says, and the spirits and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We live in Minnesota. We don't appreciate water the way we ought to, the way the rest of the world does. We go to the tap and we turn on water, take a drink. We think it's the way it's supposed to be. Nat's just back from Liberia. Nat, how many taps were you able to go to and turn on the water and just get clean, fresh water that you would be willing to drink? Very few. Did you actually use one? Nope. Nope. Not the entire time I was in Liberia. Neither did I when I was in Ouagadougou, which is Burkina Faso. They had taps, but we weren't supposed to drink out of them. We had to drink, they had to use a filter. They had a filter on some of them, and you drank the filtered water. Water isn't safe to drink, if there is water to drink. They got to haul it, if they can find it. It's a desert land, so water is so, so important. When God comes and there's salvation, water will be there. And this is water of life. The water of life. As they travel from place to place in Israel, they travel dangerous roads. And this similar to, you know, this is what a road, a general road would look like from one place to another in Israel, because they didn't have cars. Now, there were some Roman roads which were much more improved. But you'll notice something about this road. One, it's kind of rough to walk on. It's not been smoothed or improved. Two, there's plenty of places nearby for something to hide. You say, well, it looks pretty empty, but you start looking and you say, no, there's plenty of hiding places here. And the roads were dangerous. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about a man who was beaten up on the left on the side of the road because somebody ambushed him. Somebody came up and beat him up, took his wealth and left him there to die. There's wild animals that will sit on the side of the road and attack something coming down. Because this is not much more than a game path. Any deer hunters here? Where do you set up? You find the road in the wilderness, don't you? You go find it. This is where the deer go by. You find a good track. And you set up your spot in an ambush, don't you? That's one way. Another way is, you all line up and you try to walk through the field and you push everything out and you have a couple of people sitting at the end and they'll shoot them. That's different. Yeah. But here what you have is a dangerous area where things that are dangerous can hide. Instead, what we're going to have is this highway of holiness. And there will be a highway. Here we have an improved road. Now, when we think of highways, we think of 35W or something like that, which is, if we walked on that road right now, I could lose my life walking out there, driving out there. You can get in an accident, But we need to think highway doesn't have quite the amount of traffic that we do when we think highways. Instead, we're thinking of this road that's been improved, so it's easy to walk upon. But also, what we have is this highway of holiness. Everything's pushed back around it. If you're walking down this road, you can see what's coming. You can see to either side. There's nothing there that's going to jump out and surprise you. We're told that this highway, called the highway of holiness, the unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any fierce beast get upon it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They're returning to Zion. Now, Isaiah is talking about the people of Israel going into captivity into Babylon. And then they're going to come back and they're going to find an easy way back. And actually what we're going to find, if you go and you read Nehemiah, and that you see that when the exiles do return, they're not ambushed on the way. They don't have to go get guards. But they do get safely back. But we also find that this is also talking about the last days, about the return of God's people to heaven, to when it comes down here on earth, when Jerusalem comes down from on high. And we see that story in Revelation. Look at Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be there with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is what happens when God comes for us. He's coming to save us. It's going to change our experience. We who are healthy right now, the difference between our position now and our position later will be as if we were lame, as if right now we're lame, and then we'll be able to leap like deer. It's as if right now we're actually deaf. And then we're really going to be able to hear the voice of God. We'll be able to see Him in His glory. Our praises right now, it's as if we're mute. But then it's going to be as if we're shouting for joy. The difference is going to be that dramatic. Or even more so. We can hardly explain it. Living water. Instead of wondering where that next drink is going to come from. Because you need water to live, people. Trust me on this. You need it. Just give it up for 3 days. They'll probably see you down at the ER. You'll much beyond that. 3 days, if you're in poor health, could probably kill you. And if you were in a place that was very hot, you would die in just 3 days. But instead, water is going to like bubble right out of the ground, clean and fresh, ready to drink. It's the water of life. So it won't be water that you drink and that, oops, I've got Montezuma's revenge. No. We're talking the water of life. It doesn't bring anything with it. Gladness and joy will overtake him, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Why? Because God is present with us. We will be with him and he will be with us when he comes to save us. He has come to save us. He has sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. We can take advantage of much of this right now in our lives if we choose to. But we also need to remember that he's coming yet, and the final day will occur. And then God will bring his retribution and his vengeance against those who have not turned to him. Well, this is the voice in the wilderness crying out. No, this is now the voice crying out, glory to God, thank you, in his presence. Because God is there. That's what's going to happen, people. Are you ready? Do you want it? Do you want his return? Do you want him to come and save you? Then receive him. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now and we just say, Lord, return. Come and save us, Lord. We can't do it. Lord, we let vengeance and retribution rest in your hands. We will let you take care of those things. Lord, we want from you your healing touch, your restoration, your renewal, your refreshing. We want the well of coming up within us of living water. Lord, you told the woman at the well, that she should be asking you for living water. So Lord, we come and we ask you for that living water. Lord, we come and we ask you for that healing that we need. Lord, we ask you to be our source of joy and salvation, our sustenance. Lord, might we live and dwell in your very presence for all of eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with
Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God. Let's all stand.